I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey, this is Achtun Millwall.
Down the middle. He's got Elliot overlapping him. Can he find him?
Yes! Oh, Wallace! For free! Neil Gregory! Don't you Wallace! Neil Gregory! This back is shining to the middle! For free! Wise Nick in the death! What a game! What a game! What entertainment! What drama!
All right, here at the Den tonight, Millwall have got Birmingham City. Cold Wednesday night, cold and rainy Wednesday night, that's for sure. Two changes to the Millwall starting 11. Steve Morrison coming back in for Tom Elliott, who's injured. Morrison didn't look like he was going to be fit for tonight, but fit enough to start. And also Marlon Romeo comes back into the side for Conor McLaughlin after Saturday's draw with Bolton. Romeo looked more lively when he come on, I think, and probably offers the team a lot more as a whole going forward, especially at home in games where we need to be trying to attack a lot more. Away from home, you can sort of understand the McLaughlin selection a bit more, I think. On the bench, it's Ben Amos, Conor McLaughlin, Ryan Tunnicliffe, Jem Carrick, and Aidan O'Brien, Murray Wallace, and Yuri Skalak. Obviously, no Tom Elliott. Starting 11 as a whole, we'll just run through it quickly. Archer, Romeo, Hutchinson, Cooper, Meredith, Jed Wallace, Ryan Leonard, Sean Williams, Shane Ferguson, and then up front, Steve Morrison and Lee Gregory. For Birmingham, just run through it in number order. Lee Camp, Christian Pedersen, Maxim Collin, Michael Kiftenbald, Connor Mahoney, Shea Adams, Lukas Jukovic, Harley Dean, Jax McComer, Gary Gardner and Michael Morrison, the captain. On the bench, Connell Truman, Mark Roberts, Craig Gardner, Omar Bogle, Josh Dacres Cogley, Charlie Lackin and Wes Harding. Referee tonight is Mr. Scott Duncan.
Achtung, Millwall.
Half time here at Den, it's Millwall 0, Birmingham City 1. Tough to sum up that half of the lines, really. It's been very poor. And I think that's being nice, to be fair. Started poorly, Birmingham dominating the game, causing all sorts of problems. I think for the goal in the end, a little bit lucky in truth. Sean Hutchinson slips over, which allows, I think it was McComer in. He fires onto the post and then it hits James Meredith on the leg as he's coming back and goes in. It's unlucky, but Birmingham more than deserved the lead. Lukas Jukovic had a good chance to put him two up as well. Should have done better with that, should have at least tested Jordan Archer. Struck it well over the bar in the end, but Millwall have struggled to create any real chances of their own. Obviously Ryan Leonard's red card has left them with a mountain to climb. On first viewing, I thought it was a bit harsh for a second yellow, but also I said, you know, he should know better than to do that. I've not re-seen it. I've seen people on Twitter saying it could have been a straight red, so I'm not going to pretend I'm 100% sure on that. But, you know, it's just... There's such a lack of direction from Millwall and such a distinct lack of anything, really. Add the odd time coming forward, some decent link-up play, but the final ball's been lacking, and there's so much more needed from him in the second half. Need a huge second half performance here to get anything out of this one, which I think solely based on that first half performance would be undeserved in truth.
they'd been out battled, out fought. Even the likes of Lee Gregory, you know how hard he's normally working. He hasn't even looked that interested, which sort of sums it up, I think, for Millwall. I don't know if Steve Morrison's actually won a header yet. He seems to have been out fought almost every time, bar Shane Ferguson's free kick that he fired over. I can't really remember the Lions having a shot. And you know, now down to 10 men playing 4-3-2. Tunnicliffe, Williams and Jed Wallace in midfield. Been very slow to react at times all across the park, that is, not just in midfield, but also just in transition as well, very slow in transition. Just need to get from back to front a bit quicker, which made Millwall such a dangerous side last year, and seems to be none of that tonight. Second half can't be any worse than that first half, can it?
Achtung, Millwall.
Finished here at the Den, and it's finished Millwall 0, Birmingham City 2 in a rather uninspiring performance from Millwall, really. Never got going to a great extent, and they're going to have to improve in the coming weeks, and they're going to have to improve sharpish, because the way things are going, they're going to be bang in trouble this season. Hard to pick out anyone who comes away with that from any credit, really. I don't actually think Ryan Tunnicliffe was that bad off the bench. Harry, you're going to hate me for saying that. He didn't have loads and loads of impact, but he wasn't that bad. Jed Wallace, probably the only Millwall player who really threatened. Steve Morrison didn't really win a lot in here, which is kind of sort of his job in the team now. Lee Gregory didn't look himself and went off with an injury. Hopefully that's just a dead leg or something like cramp, so hopefully he'll be back for the weekend. Obviously Sunday's game away at Bristol City. Sean Hutchison also had to come off. He was bleeding quite badly for his head, so hopefully he'll be back. But he also hasn't looked himself of late, in truth. Murray Wallace came on for Hutch, headed wide at a corner, but Barlett didn't have too much to do, and what he did have to do defensively, he didn't do a half bad job. So it's hard to see where the next win's going to come from Millwall, really. This was a big period for them, still is a big period. Next few games, playing a lot of teams in and around them, have to start picking up some points from that. You know, Hull's two games away now, I think, and need to get something out of that on the 8th of December, I think it is, back here. But it's uninspiring from Millwall, and it's one of those performances where you just want to get home straight after the full-time whistle. I wanted to go home at half-time. But got to keep going, and we're going to keep getting punished for it, I think. Birmingham actually didn't look that brilliant themselves, if I'm honest. Okay defensively, decent going forward, couple of tough wingers, very good wingers, McComber and Mahoney, who were particularly causing problems in the first half, but it's just Millwall have got to deal with things better, and they're getting exposed at the back far too easily. Nothing like the defence of last season that was, I think, ended up third or fourth best defence in the league. It's nothing like that this time around. I just don't know what you say now if you're Neil Harris. You can't keep saying the same thing, and that is what it's going to end up being to an extent. You can only put it so many different ways. Obviously, looking at Sunday, you know, Ryan Lennon suspended as well now after that red card, because he's not going to get anywhere on the appeal with that. And I don't actually know if they can appeal it because it was a second yellow, but it's just a pretty horrible situation to be in right now if you're Millwall. And I think I sound almost depressed, in truth. It's probably because I am, but got to do a bit better against Bristol City on Sunday. Hopefully Lions can pick out their first away win since April. I can't see it myself, but come on, you Lions.
Achtung, Millwall.
All right, big welcome on the show to a welcome return guest, Tony Thomas. Welcome back, Tony.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks very much.
In miserable circumstances, mate. You were there last night. I watched it on the iPad, on iFollow, and there's a huge amount of comment online, Tone, isn't there, about where we're at the moment. My eye fell on one of them. There's loads and loads of tweets. Everyone's out there and at it. But I like this one from Phil Clark, and he says, is there a sense of something ending? The manager dictates style, players are not responding, and they look stale through listening to the same voices over and over. I mean, obviously that takes us straight into the Neil Harris debate itself. But I think also what I took from last night, and I don't know where you stand, but the long ball seems to be at a conclusion. The style of long ball football at Millwall has been well and truly found out, and we only looked decent when we started passing the ball.
That was the key to it, I suppose, yesterday, is that we looked completely ineffective for the first 35 minutes. We didn't look up for it. And then it takes for us to go down to 10 men to start adapting the way we're playing. We start playing the ball around actually quite nicely at times. We showed that we can play the ball on the deck. I thought Tunnicliffe made a difference when he came on with that, because he's a player that is different to anybody else in the team in that he can run strongly on the ball. And he's not afraid to go to either side with it. So from the centre of midfield, he can go either side and then give us a little bit more width from the centre, which doesn't seem to make sense, but it means that we can overload one side and create an area where we can get crosses into the box, which is, you know, that's what the long ball game we play is fine if you've got players in and around the players that you're playing the long ball to. It doesn't work if they're isolated. Now, what we've got, even when we've got a big player on the pitch, is nearly all of our goals this season have come from crosses.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't remember the last time we scored a goal from outside the box. I can't remember a single goal this season we scored from outside the box. So
set pieces, corners, but it's not from open play. I agree.
We're the England of except for we don't have Harry Kane up front, and we don't have anyone with creativity in the midfield, which is where we're lacking at the moment.
I mean, the sentence that my eye fell upon was a sense of something ending, and I'm taking that. I know it can be read two ways. Whether, you know, there's a big debate on Neil Harris whether he is the right man for the club, and I want to leave that to one side, maybe come back to that later. But certainly for me, and I know you're a fan of Barcelona as well, Tone, but there is a sense that the long ball game itself has been well and truly found out. I mean, Birmingham came well prepped for us last night. I thought they kept us very quiet, airily, kept Morrison quiet. I know he's returning from injury, like Lazarus almost, but Jake Cooper also kept very quiet when it came to the aerial stuff, and if without those two key components, our aerial game is non-existent.
It is. I'm a Barcelona member as well as a Mill nutter.
That's another combination, but I will leave that there.
I can sell it to most people. Similar styles of football. It's certainly not one thing that draws the clubs together. I wouldn't necessarily say it's been found out, because I'm pretty sure after the first, even when we came up, teams knew how we were going to play against them. Mm. We have not changed the way we've played since Neil's taken over. We've played a similar style of football. And I don't know necessarily whether it's been found out. What has been lacking is that, for me, the desire to play in and around that. That's where we haven't been at the races. The Bolton first half and the first 35 minutes yesterday were just abject. Yeah. It doesn't matter what style of football you're playing. If the players are not buying into the system that they are, and that might be where it's ending, that the players are fed up of playing a certain style of football. They showed that they can play the ball on the floor. And that's where it's difficult. Because it's all well and good saying, you know, we're going to... The long ball's been found out, but that's not the problem. The problem is, last season, we had width from both.
Yeah.
We had Jed Wallace on the right wing. We had Marshall on the left wing.
Yeah.
That's when we looked really dangerous, because we can attack from both sides. Now, they're stopping... All they have to do is double up on Romeo and Wallace on the right side, who does switch. But whatever side Wallace goes on, they double up because they know they can't get beaten in behind. So what teams are doing against us consistently is having a very high line.
Yeah.
And that means even if we do win the ball, it's not in a dangerous area. And it means that it's not falling to anyone on the edge of the box. It's falling to someone 35 yards out, which is no good to nobody. So I don't know whether it's necessarily been found that we're only being able to track down one wing because of the lack of having two speedy wingers on both sides, as well as the fact that we're now unable, teams are playing higher up against us. And so to negate that, we don't have anyone in the squad really, other than Wallace, that's got lightning pace in an attacking way. So even when Aiden comes on yesterday, he's a number 10, you know, someone that could be good in and around the box, but he needs the ball there.
Yeah.
And we're just not getting the ball in and around the box enough. There's a lot wrong, but you know, you said about Neil Harris. Neil Harris is the man for the job. No one out there is better for Millwall Football Club than Neil Harris. And I strongly believe that. Neil will find a way of turning it around. He's learning on the job. He's been in it for a decent amount of time. But we've said about things coming to an end or eras coming to an end. You know, managers are able to turn the tide. And I'm fully behind Neil no matter what happens. If we went down, I'd back him to get us back up again. So, you know, I can't say any stronger. Was I disappointed yesterday? Was I gutted? Was I disillusioned with what's happening at the moment? Of course I was. But do you not think that, you know, Neil's in the changing rooms thinking exactly the same thing? But, you know, he's the man getting paid, and I strongly believe he'll turn it around.
I do think there's a sense, despite the abject first half an hour up until sending off, that, I mean, I wouldn't even say that turned the game particularly, Tony, because I felt the game was lost inside that first half an hour in more practical senses, because we were looking toothless. Obviously, then Leonard gets sent off. But on the other hand, Birmingham are running riot for our defence. I mean, the winger, Magoma, I think his name was yep, going for our defence like a knife goes through butter. That is worrying. I just think we've got the worst of all worlds is to be fragile in defence and toothless going forwards. And I think that's the position that we found ourselves in that first half. But just to go back to the hope part, because I did mention some hope, we played a lot better in the second half when we started keeping the ball on the deck and passing. And the players looked like a burden had been relieved from them, despite the 10 men. You know, the disadvantage of being down to 10 men. It looked like they want to play that way.
Well, that's what I'd say. Ironically, the game did turn when we went down to 10 men, because we started playing football, yeah, and we were the better side at that stage. You know, the Birmingham fans were getting on their players' backs for not attacking, and we pinned them in really well. It was a mixture of them dropping deep, like we normally do when we've got a lead. To be fair, they fell foul to the Millwall tactic of defend your box when you've got a lead, and what we didn't do is take a chance that, you know, Cooper's got a chance where it's bounced back to him, but we didn't create enough chances. We had a lot of pressure, but we didn't create enough chances. But second of all, the defensive lapses is something that does need to be addressed. You know, we based our run last season on being very tight,
yeah,
at the back, being very solid. And this season, we've, you know, too many individual errors. And a manager can only legislate for that so often, where he's planning his team, he's set them out for a certain way. And then players like Hutchinson, who's been absolutely superb, and everyone will know what a massive fan of him I am. You know, the first goal he's got to clear the ball. He doesn't, and then he slips and he's in behind. And
yeah,
you're thinking, silly little mistakes like that. It's been happening time and time again. You know, where individual errors, it happened at Bolton, where we didn't get punished on Saturday. Defenders not doing their jobs properly. You know, Meredith looks off the pace.
Yeah, he don't look right, does he? Williams doesn't look right to me.
They don't become bad players overnight. You know, it's not something that's happening in training, and people will put it down to the manager, but I don't think that's the case either. It's just the case of when you're on a bad run, when things are going against you, you see going into work becomes that much harder. The pressure becomes on you, and we're a tough crowd to play under. You know, those players got booed off at half time, and did they deserve it? Yeah, probably they did deserve it. Did I boo myself? No, I don't do that,
but I understand those that do.
But yeah, I can understand the frustration that causes that. And the players feel it. You know, Harris did make a good point in terms of our bad away form is putting pressure on our home form. But for me, you've got to turn that negative into a positive and say you've got to take our home form away rather than looking at it the other way around, because we've got to be going, more than anything, I've said it so many times that we have to go at them from the first whistle. We've done that the second half.
Yeah, we did.
But for me, you think, why did we not do that at the start of the game? We've got to be hungry to say this is our home turf, or whether we're going away, we are Millwall and we are coming at you. That is our game. We're going to put full pressure on you. Gregory traces down, everyone follows him, and we put pressure on teams. And even if it's we come back into our own half and put pressure as soon as they come into our half, that's what we do. But there's not enough intensity, and that's something that needs to be addressed more than anything else.
It's that question of fire in the belly, and Gregory actually is an interesting player to select. He was on my notes here, because I thought in the first half, I would never ever say that Lee Gregory doesn't look interested, but he wasn't on his best game in the first half. Second half, he was a man transformed, in all honesty. I thought he really became the Lee Gregory that we know and love, and so did one or two others as well. I mean, Wallace obviously in this free role where he's go anywhere, cause danger where he can. Probably suits his game, but the difference between the first half and the second half, spiritually, or the wrong word perhaps, but the way they approach the game's tone was so remarkable. I can't give an adequate explanation. I can't see how you can be that dire in the first 45 and down to 10. I know that always induces a siege mentality, but we were playing decent football in the second half up until the second goal, which killed it. And I don't get how you can be so transformed by that change in style, unless the players don't believe in the long ball game themselves.
Well, they might not believe in the long ball, and they might be, you know, players, fans, you know, the media, they all look to, if there's a bad run of results, something's got to be the issue. So whether it's the long game, whether it's the lack of wingers, whether it's the defensive errors, we talk about football because that's what we do. You know, that's what makes it the best sport in the world.
And, absolutely.
Yeah. We look for something to be a reason why. But it might just be, you know, it's a bit of a bad run. The players are not feeling as motivated or as happy as they are on the pitch. And our another thing our team was built on last season was the spirit. You know, it's the team spirit of them fighting for each other. And, you know, that's why I think maybe the sending off and the referee helped us in a way, because he kept giving the 50-50, the 60-40 decisions against us, which builds the no one likes us in the crowd. It gets the crowd into it, because the crowd first half, we were as dire, personally, I thought we was as dire as the team were. You know, and there's a case to be made in terms of who should set
one
who
feeds
off
from the other time, doesn't it? Yeah,
yeah,
I know what you mean.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And we didn't get the crowd. The crowd weren't going and the players weren't going.
No.
Second half, the referee got the crowd into it by some abject refereeing, which then creates the atmosphere, which then the players feed off. Then they start to feel like they're being hard done by on the pitch, which makes them run a little bit harder. I saw Jed Wallace at the end. You know, he got absolutely poleaxed. And then literally, I thought he was going to headbutt the referee. You know, people wouldn't have seen it on the TV, but he literally was running side by side with the referee, chasing after the ball. But the referee was running in the same direction, and he looked like he was absolutely just going to lay one on him. And he was so frustrated with it.
Yeah.
And that's Millwall, isn't it? That's what we feed off, that kind of...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Why is it always us? Why is the world
siege mentality, the emotion of the place? We wouldn't have it any other way.
No, well, that's what, you know, with our budget, with who we are, with the amount of money we spend on players and the weights we've got, we need something to stand us apart. And that's why our home form has been so good, because of the emotion that the place creates. But on the flip side of that, and every Millwall fan will know, that then can be toxic for the home side when it's not going well. You know, I've said so many times, forget about the away players for a second and the away fans. Our own interaction with our own players, if we're behind you, is second to none. I don't think there's a better ground in the country when the fans are behind them at the Den. And most of the players that have ever played for us have said the same thing. But equally, they've also said it's a very tough place to play when it's not going well, because you will hear it. And that is it spreads. Yeah. Are you going to run the extra bit when the fans are on your back? Some do, some don't. We've got a good squad in terms of it was built to prepare them to deal with a Millwall crowd. And so I feel like that's why we will turn it around. But we're not creating enough chances. We're not showing enough quality consistently, you know, and also we're not getting the rub of the green. Look at Norwich is a good example where we played really well in phases.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Really spells of against one of the top teams in the division, and we were very unlucky to come away with nothing from that. And then, all right, we've had two. You know, anyone going to the Den on Saturday against Bolton, that is a game where it's all set up for us to foul. In all honesty, Bolton are going to bring nobody. There's going to be no atmosphere. It's going to be a game where we should get up for it. We should be rolling teams like that, but we don't. You know, but you'll get a Leeds down there or a team that are flying high and they bring a decent away, and then all of a sudden our players are lifted and it's a different type of performance.
I don't think we're terribly far off where we were last season at this stage.
No, I think 2 points. We have 2 points, but we had a massively good run. You know, we, there's no way we are replicating the run we had at the end of last season. That's just not going to happen, isn't it? Although the comparisons with last season at this stage are there, that's fact. Well, there is absolutely no chance we are going on the run. You know what, 22 games, unbeaten us. That's not going to happen. You know, we were on fire last season, but with recruitment in January is going to be massive, because another thing that's come out of this is how our squad was small and it worked last season, because we were very lucky with the lack of injuries we've had. We've been hit this season, and you know, ironically, you know, Bradshaw's been sitting on the bench all year as a game where he would have started on Saturday against Bolton, and he's picked up an injury, and you just think it's just God's law, it's not really going our way. It is, you know, we talk about cursed luck, and it's doom and gloom at the moment at Millwall. It's hard to be positive, but I do believe in these players, and I do believe in this manager, and I do think that there's something about them that will turn this around. And you know, the more we can get behind them, the more we can back them, the better it will be. And you know, we've just got to, like you said, I hope Harris does look at it. And I was disappointed that he put Morrison up front yesterday, who was off the pace.
He was.
You know.
And he was getting riled all game. He was talking to the referee constantly.
Because he gets frustrated.
Trying too hard.
And also, he's trying too hard. And he's probably frustrated at his lack of goals, his lack of impact on a match, because that's not him. That's not his game. He likes to be, you know, the centre of attention. He likes to have all the away fans and the away players or the opposition players looking at him, you know, getting in their face, and that's what he builds his game on. It lifts him, and he's not really been able to do that. But I thought Gregory and O'Brien should have started. I felt O'Brien's done enough in a more of a number 10 role than a two players up front, just to link the centre of midfield with being up front. You know, I just think we need someone to be in that pocket on the edge of the box, because how often do you see the ball gets played back and the ball's into the box, it gets dropped to the edge of the box and we've got nobody there? It happens so often. We need someone sitting on that D, like I said, to have a shot from outside the box when the ball does bounce our way, and we're not getting it at the moment. I think Aidan could play that role behind Gregory if he's fit, but it's looking like he might not be fit for Sunday.
Aiden also takes us away from the more natural long ball approach, Tone, doesn't he, as well? I mean, there's more of an inclination to keep it on the deck and mix it up a little bit. I want to add to the listeners that I have no particular aversion to the long ball game as long as it's mixed in with a mixture of approach. And I think that's where we're at best, when it's retained as a weapon to be used on an occasional basis, not this relentless approach. And I think we've just become predictable, and that's our downfall.
Well, the thing is, what hasn't helped the long ball backing, I suppose you could put it, is that Bolton, we were forced into changing our way of play because Elliot went off injured. Yeah. So we had two smaller men. So we started playing football on the ground and looked better.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, again, we were forced into playing the ball more on the ground because we had 10 men, we had a different formation, and we looked better again. So is that, there's going to be a reason for that. Is it because the players are buying into it more? Is it because they feel like maybe that things are not going our way, so we've got to step it up? Maybe is it because the crowd are getting into it and getting on their backs? There are different reasons it could be, or maybe we should just be playing that way. Maybe we should be playing that way more often. We're still going to be dangerous from set pieces with balls into the box because Cooper, when he's not got two players holding him down and somehow officials are not seeing it, when it's one on one, he virtually wins that ball in from a corner or a set piece every single time.
Yeah.
If I was a defending team, I'd be saying that every single week. You've got to have two players on Cooper, and one of them's got to be holding him. You know, slyly, whatever. You've got to be doing that, and teams have wised up to it because he's got the most amount of assists, or he did have the most amount of assists for defenders in the league. It's ridiculous.
I know there's a debate about VAR in the game and the rights and wrongs of that, but I sometimes think at the Den, you know, where we're always cursing referees, Tone, that you make a good point there about Jake Cooper last night. He did have men on rugby tackling him, and you just think, well, that might help it to our advantage a little bit. I'm just looking at the spine of the team. Each one's had question marks over them one way of the season. Archer, Hutchinson last night beaten for pace for the opening goal. Williams has looked sluggish. And obviously Morrison last night coming back from injury. But they're all searching for form in their different ways, aren't they? Each one has an issue that's got to be resolved somehow. And I think at the moment,
not just the
we're
spine.
In that dip.
Not just the spine. Other than Lee Gregory, every other player in that team's had questions asked of them this season. You know, I think Jed Wallace showed yesterday that he's probably come through that.
Good character, Jed Wallace. I like Jed.
And Marlon Romeo. I think Romeo again was a shining light yesterday. But everybody else, there's been questions asked, and that is for a number of reasons. It's for a lack of form. It's for a lack of anyone showing any kind of class whatsoever. You know. Consistently, you know, they've done it in pockets. Mm. We've looked good in parts of games. No, even not said at Norwich, we look good at parts of the game, you know, but we're better backs against the wall. We seem to then step up, but we shouldn't be in a situation where we're in the firing line, we've got a hood over our head, and then we decide to fight back because we're always likely to then just get shot in the head. We need to be fighting before we're in that position, and that's what we did so well last season. We were fighting from the first whistle to the last. It takes a lot out of the players, and I understand that that's not easy to do, but for us to be successful to any degree, and what defines success at Millwall, as far as I'm concerned, if we stay in the Championship, that's a successful season for Millwall.
Until we can stay
in this division for a few years, because the teams we're coming up against, now, other than Rotherham, who's a small team in the Championship? You name me a team, other than Rotherham and us, that if it's not successful, they've got more than 20,000 fans there. You know, it's a big city league.
It's an expensive league to compete in as well.
It's the sixth biggest league in the world and every single week, you know, we're coming up against teams that are bigger attendance wise. But what we have is different to everybody else. You know, Birmingham are a proper working class club. Mm. You know, they're proper fans, sing with passion. You know, that adopt a lot of the same mantras that we do. And somehow they managed to get the most amount of arrests. I was pleased to be told by a Birmingham fan. You know, like he's got it framed on his wall that they.
Well, they got
the
stuffed by Villa, so it's nice to win something, mate.
Yeah, although we can't, they did, but you know, proper fans. We've got a lot of that in this division, and this we need to stay here. You know, we cannot drop. If we drop down with our budget, we don't. We're in the. We're not even.
We're in the mire.
Sometimes in Yeah, we're not even in the top six in League One, though. That's the problem. So when we go down, we're not the biggest fish in the pond.
January's looming.
Yeah,
the window opens. We need to bring players in. Where are you going to strengthen? You're strengthening defence, you're strengthening midfield, or are you going to go... I'm just looking at the two lone players. We've got Thompson at Pompey and Fred at Wickham. Would you recall them? Bring Tomo back? Bring Fred back and Jan? Or leave them where they are?
I've seen a lot of, again, like you on Twitter and YouTube, a lot of people saying about Fred and Tomo coming back. I don't think Fred's ever going to play for me at a proper level.
He's scoring at Wickham, listeners. He's not scoring in the Championship.
I don't think he has the mentality to play at Millwall. I don't think he wants to be at Millwall. I've backed him a lot, and I don't like. I backed him when he's getting booed, and I don't like any Millwall player getting booed individually for not signing a contract. Mm. But I don't feel, in my heart, I don't feel like Fred wants to be at Millwall. I don't think he, because of what he'd got previously, I think he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder, and he'll be like a Lewis Grabban. He may well be successful, but he may well be like the dozen other Millwall players like Connor Wilkinson that have gone elsewhere and done absolutely nothing. So Fred's not going to come back and play in a Millwall team. I don't think so.
I think he's happy. He's happy at Wickham. He's happy at Wickham.
He's happy at Wickham, and he might have found his level.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's it.
Ben's a difficult one because he's playing in a good Portsmouth side at the top of League One.
I was going to say, he's top of the league at the moment.
If you look at league positions, they've what, four places behind us. It's not a great leap for him to then come back into our team. The problem is there is a big step up in quality between League One and the Championship, and I don't know whether at the moment if it's a good thing, Ben's on loan, he's doing well, he's playing every week. Let him do that. Let him see out the rest of the season with a success. Don't let him go. Then bring him into the fold at the start of next season. That's my opinion. In terms of where we need to strengthen, I feel like it's Dalwin and Supermarket Sweep. I feel like we've got to put everything in the trolley. We need a bit of everything.
Everything.
I'd have a keeper, I'd have a defence, I think centre back would probably be okay, although as long as we don't lose them, they need a bit of, what's it called, a bit of love. But we certainly need more backup at wing back, because we've only literally got Romeo and Meredith, in my opinion. I don't like Fergie playing at left back, he's better as a left midfielder. And Conor McLaughlin showed on Saturday that he's not up to this level.
I don't think he wants to be at Millwall either anymore. I think
I'd have Ben Marshall back as a winger. We desperately, more than anything, need pace in our team. That's where we need to strengthen. Whether it's pace up front, whether it's pace in the midfield, we need pace. To play the way we play, or any way we play, to play at this level, you need pace. And that's why people would say you bring Fred back. But Fred hasn't got any quality with the pace.
Fred lacks the consistent. He lacks the football intelligence. You've got to know what you're doing. Otherwise,
the heart to play at Millwall. Because you see it a lot. It takes a lot for that kind of winger kind of player to play at Millwall, because you're silly. You're closest to the fans. The fans want you to be successful every single time you do it. If you don't track back, he's a player that doesn't track back. He's a player that doesn't put himself about. So you have to be very good to play at Millwall and not do those kind of things and then be able to take the grief from the fans, because you've seen it. Like James, he reminds me a little bit of James Henry without the quality on the final ball.
James was a good strike on the ball, wasn't he?
He was a better strike, a very good set piece specialist and a very good crosser of the ball, but he had a bit of pace. But what he used to get a hell of a lot of grief because he didn't do the donkey work that you expect at Millwall, and that's something that Fred unless he gets that part of his game going, something he doesn't do either. So we need pace. We need pace up front. There are players that we have to take lower league strikers. We're not going to be spending money on big
superstars.
I do not want loan players from other clubs. Forget about that. Loan players come in. You've got to have an identity with Millwall. You've got to want to play for Millwall. I don't want you coming on loan and you spend the rest of your life, you're at Arsenal or Chelsea or Tottenham. And I know it's worked a couple of times, but what sounds silly, but Fulham have gone up. You know, half their team last season was made up of loan players.
Yeah.
And they've had to buy in, what, 22 players and spent over $100 million just to try and compete. And they're in the bottom three in the Premiership. You can't make your team up of loan players. And what we've done really well is kept our own team together. And we need to strengthen with a bit of pace, with someone that can, a natural goal scorer that can play with Lee Gregory, because that's the future. You know, that's what we got, and that's what we thought we had with Bradshaw, but for some reason we stuck with the big man, small man up front. We didn't adapt our game to maybe how we should be playing. You know, we need to keep Gregory. We have a quick goal scorer in and around him, and you know that would be a lethal partnership, because
keeping Gregory, I think, is going to involve breaking club policy and offering him a decent contract over the age of 30, or whatever. You know, there's this 1 year rule, isn't there, which has come down on tablets of stone from Charlton Heston in the Sky, you know, throwing them down. And to keep Lee Gregory tone, we're going to have to break that policy, because, you know, word is he wants to get back up north, family, kids, and the only way you're going to keep him down here and you know, keep him interested is to make it worth his while. And we need him. I can't see any benefit to letting him go.
Well, then break it. You know. I very much doubt you ask every single Mill fan in a pub or in the train station, and you go, or in the den, and you go up to him and you go, "Do you want to keep Lee Gregory?" I'm pretty sure 95% of those people would say they would snap your hand off.
Be a rare person would say no to that question, wouldn't it? I mean, it's...
No, I'd eat them. I'd eat them. as long as he weren't a child. You know, my son, I'd let him get away with it. But anyone else, no. I'd eat him verbally.
I like it.
Anyone that doesn't want Lee Gregory at our club is a fool. There's no other way of putting it. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, but he's necessary at the club for what he brings. He brings far more than goals to the team. Is he the best natural goal scorer that's ever played for us? No, he's not. But is he a player that epitomises what I want to see in a Millwall shirt? Yes, he is. And if you get a goal scorer alongside him, he'll start scoring goals as well, because they'll create for each other. And he's been put under pressure because he's expected to be the person that scores all the goals. He's not really that type of player. He's someone that can play as a partnership. And that's what I thought we was getting with Bradshaw, but we just didn't play him. And that was a mistake. And I think the more time goes on, we'll see that as a mistake. And until we get Bradshaw back, we need to buy a striker up front that can play with Lee Gregory, and then we start playing football in and around the channels to get the balls across for first time finishes to score goals.
So nothing major, strengthen the whole squad, stick with the new playing style.
Keep Lee Gregory
and find a bag of the net more often. Apart from that, we should be fine.
If we score more goals and start conceding less goals, I can guarantee you we'll be turning it around. There's no other way of putting it.
Who'd be a football manager?
We'll do it. Yeah, this squad will do it. Believe me, this squad will turn it around, and so will Neil. Neil will get to those players. There's no better manager out there. I've heard Mark Warburton, and no one understands the club better than Neil does.
I agree.
A Millwall manager needs a chip on their shoulder. A Millwall manager walking off the ground at Brentford needs to give it back to the fans. You need to do that as a Millwall manager. I don't want my manager to be shutting up. Do you know what I want our players to be doing, though? Absolutely surrounding the ref like every other Championship club does when we get bad decisions. We seem to just take it.
Yeah, we're being too mild. We're being too nice.
We are being too mild and too nice. And I think the players have been told that. You know, they've been told don't get in it, but it's not working. You know, we need to go at a... I want to see Neil... to be fair, he did harangue the fourth official yesterday a couple of times, but, you know, laughable decisions where someone's... Like Morrison was pushed in the back 2 seconds afterwards. He's pushed someone in the back and there's the foul given. And you think that yesterday he got silly in that second half, which brought the fans into it. But that's what we need to do. We need to make it a little bit more of a, you know, Harris talked about it last season, about the nasty place to come. Mm. Well, the players on the pitch need to make that as well. You know, it needs to be, I don't know, little niggles here and there and getting in the ref's ear and, you know, just making it, I don't know, making it a bit... There needs to be an atmosphere there, and we've lost that a little bit. We need to get that back.
That's great stuff, Tone. Really appreciate your time today, mate. Miserable result, but let's on to Bristol. Son, did you fancy us at Bristol?
At the moment, I don't fancy us anywhere, but that doesn't mean we could, you know, because I'm not going on Sunday, I've got to coach my under-8s. Because I'm not going, that means, obviously, we're going to win. I'll be happy to be checking my phone on Sunday, checking the updates, and gladly see us come away with a 2-0 win, and Neil Harris will put his fingers up to the fans and say, look, I told you I'll get these boys going. We've got it in us, but we need something to turn around, and then, you know, our season could kick off. It's not going to be the same as last season from the 2 points that were different this year.
Survival.
But we can do enough. There are worse teams. You know, Wigan have come to the Den. They were awful. You know, not Ipswich, awful. There are Bolton, awful. Even though we made them look better. You know, there are worse teams in this championship, and we've just got to get ourselves together. Because I was thinking yesterday, you know, I rank the teams that have come to the Den in terms of how good they are. You know, yesterday's first half performance, we were the bottom of the teams that I've seen at the Den this year, because that was just awful, and that cannot be allowed to happen again for the rest of the season. So let's hope it doesn't.
Big thank you to Tony Thomas for coming on the show. Thanks a lot, Tony. I really appreciate it, mate.
No worries, Nick. Thank you.
You've been listening to Octoon Millwall, the CBL Magazine podcast. That's the Millwall news this week, and we are out of here.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.